Rocky in the morning.
We got to find some Montrealers who are willing to describe, especially the women, the type of person that they fantasize when it comes to smooching and cuddling and cuffing.
Yeah, this is in cuffing for cuffing season, you're right. This is interesting. So women are far more likely to fantasize about a faceless stranger than an ex or someone they know compared to men. Okay, so women will daydream about a faceless hunk, and the guys are more likely to lust over somebody that they know or somebody that they've seen before. So it could be a celebrity as well. Just basically there's a face attached to the person they're fantasizing about.
So when you're fantasizing about a faceless person, what it like, describe to me what that looks like. What is it? Just like a ghost?
He's got a hot bod.
Oh, okay.
He's nicely dressed. He's sturdy.
Sturdy man. Yeah.
And he likes to clean. But I actually understand this because
but there's no face in there. It's just blank.
No face. I've thought of this before, and you know I'm an overthinker, and you're like, I think you're thinking too deep into this. But okay, because I don't fantasize about being married all the time, like of my wedding day, but sometimes you picture it, right? Like I'll hear a song and I'll be like, oh, that'll be a great wedding song for when I get married. So when I'm picturing myself getting married, I can see the guy. He's taller than me. He's very well dressed. He's got great hair, but I have no idea what his face is. Like, I don't know what he looks like.
That is so bizarre. And Sam, as a guy, don't you find that bizarre? Because I really do.
I need a face.
I need a face,
no
too.
No face, no go. I need the face.
At one point, I was like, maybe I need to picture the face. Maybe I'm not finding him because I don't know what he looks like. But I'm curious, Kim Kieran, do you
fantasize? Still fantasize? I've been with this in 28.
Okay, when you did. Yeah.
No, I can totally understand that.
No face.
It's an ideal more than it is an actual person.
Yeah.
It's the idea of that person that's interesting.
Well, I think that's a real female thing.
Yeah,
like
it
Sam
must
and
be.
I are like, no, there has to be, to fantasize, I need to know what her hair is like, how much makeup she's wearing, what she's...
Really?
It all starts with the face.
Maybe it's because maybe women put a little less into the physical, you know? Yeah. So it's a little more like I mentioned to you, I mentioned that he was tall, but I also could describe sort of who he was as a person.
And he wants he's clean. Like you picture him with a Hoover in his hand.
I want him cleaning my whole place. I don't want
especially the dishwasher.
The whole thing.
Elizabeth says she fantasizes about Captain America, not Chris Evans the actor, but just the character of Captain America. Gentleman, strong, hardworking man, strong in his principles, always fighting for the innocent.
This is kind of a cool revelation. Like, it's interesting. So, 92925, ladies, is there a face when you're picturing this person? And even if you're married, it's okay to have a little daydream.
It's just a game. My wife's not listening right now. You know what I mean? Just for fun, describe who you fantasize about. And it's specifically face or no face.
Yeah. Face or no face?
Do you prefer your men with a face or no face? I'm sure the guys have so many questions right now for the ladies because Sam and I are just freaking out that Nikki is saying that most women are likely to fantasize about somebody who has no face.
Yeah, a faceless hunk.
It's the body, it's the personality, it's what they do, but it has nothing to do physically with their face.
Exactly, and for men, they're more likely to lust over someone they already know. So a face they have seen, it could be a celebrity, it could be an ex, it could be a friend, a coworker, whatever.
I just don't get how you can censor or put constraints on a fantasy. A fantasy is whatever you want it to be, so why not shoot for the stars
But that is what we want it to be, that's why we do it.
A faceless man.
Yeah.
It does make a lot of sense though, Sam. It's just obviously men and women are fantasizing about totally different things. Seriously.
Yeah.
What you're looking for and what we're looking, it's totally different.
And different things are important, right? Like, so what gets you?
Well, I mean, I'm not really looking for personality traits when I'm fantasizing. It's, it's physical and it starts with the face. I need the eyes. I need to know the person. Like the face identifies the actual person. I'm not.
For us, the personality matters. We got a
even
text
in
from
a fantasy.
Yes. All the time it matters. It's the most important thing. Amanda texted, I think it's because a woman understands it's a fantasy and doesn't want to commit to a specific idea of an individual when they know it's not real. Maybe we're just smarter.
Really? You see, it's the guys that have the fear of commitment. I can't commit to this fake fantasized girlfriend. Somebody texted, I'm not going to lie, I fantasize about being Kat's best friend. She just goes, it's not sexual, it's real friendship. My fiance laughs at me all the time. Emily, we can be friends.
And you know his face.
But you know what, Emily, keep it at a fantasy because I'm probably a lot more boring than your fantasy.
It's not all it's cracked up to be.
Maureen is on the phone. You're the same way. When you fantasize, there's no face, right?
There's never a face. Whenever I fantasize or I have a dream, there's never a face. Unfortunately, it's like Nikki. I always see a body. I always see an image in general, but never a face.
And
it's
you can
so
tell.
Dull.
You know whether he's a good guy or not, right?
Exactly. exactly. I never see a face, and I wish, you know, sometimes I wake up from my dream and I say, oh my God, I wish I could see his face, but there's never a face.
That
I don't
is
know, like,
so interesting.
Maybe just do like a cutout of Channing Tatum's face and stick him on the ceiling so when you wake up, you see that face.
Well, you know what? I do fantasize over Channing Tatum. I have a hard time pronouncing his name.
It's okay.
But I do fantasize over him, but like I see his face, but it's not like reality, right?
Yeah. Well,
unfortunately.
Let's be honest. We all fantasize over him.
You guys awake? You ready
to go?
I'm
awake. Are you awake?
I'm awake.
Yeah.
I'm awake because I'm excited to see you guys and I get a little shot of adrenaline.
It's so funny because I was talking to my mom on the phone yesterday, and every once in a while I love when we have really long phone conversations just about life in general. But we're talking about how she and my grandmother take like the kindest, sweetest people you've ever met. Right, Sam? You've met my mom.
Oh.
Like, sweet.
Adorable.
Yeah. When she wakes up in the morning, you cannot look at her for like a good 25, 30 minutes. Do not look at her. After that, she's good to go. Like, she gets herself together, but she needs her time to herself. And, you know, at some point they say you start becoming your parents, right?
Yeah.
I think I've been my mom for a long time. Because I was thinking about the fact, so when Vinny normally first comes in the morning, he's pretty like low key. And he's like, morning, morning, morning. That's what he says every morning, like three times. I'm like, morning. And then I'm sitting here. And then when Sam comes in, I'm doing my work. Like, I'm looking at all the entertainment news, seeing what's going on. And then I don't say good morning to Sam because I'm like, okay, they can talk amongst themselves. Like, it's like it would take way too much energy for me to say good morning. So they're good all on their own. But have you noticed this before, Sam?
Yeah, I just thought you didn't like me.
No. But then you see I come alive shortly
you
after,
do.
Right?
You ramp up slowly but surely. Yeah.
You're really overthinking this, you know?
Well, no, because every morning, because you don't understand. Does your wife or anybody like this?
Oh, my wife is the exact same way on the weekend. That's normally when we see each other in the morning is on the weekend, but she's been up for 2 hours. So I haven't had my cup of coffee yet, but she's ready to go. Hey, stop. By the way, this, I'm like, whoa, I haven't had my coffee yet. But if you do that to her and reverse it, and she sleeps in one day, and you got
hella break loose.
At least half an hour.
It's over, yeah.
At least half an hour.
Yeah.
And I'll hear her walking around the house. I won't even go in the same room as her. Like, you know what I mean? Never mind say good morning.
You've learned.
And when you said that I overthink it, you're right, because I'm literally here, like, if you should say good morning to him. Like, in my head, I'm like, just say good morning. Don't have it in me. Like, do not have it in me to do it.
I would appreciate it, but it's something in the world.
I'm going to start the effort, but just know how much effort it takes for me to do
it. Struggle's real. I get it.
Okay. It has nothing to do with you.
I'm only here for a week, but I'm going to institute a new rule starting tomorrow. We all hug in the morning.
Oh.
Whoa.
And you know, I hate hugs.
You do.
Hugs and good mornings.
It means he really likes you, Nikki.
He might not afterward. That's right, dangerous.
In fact, let's do it now. Group hug. Group hug. So I was mentioning something's happening in our family on Sunday. And those that know me and have followed my career for a while may be very, very surprised to know. You know I have two children. That my daughter, on Sunday, is going to be 16 years
old. Wow, 16 years. I remember 16.
And I cannot believe that she's 16 and going to be driving, getting her license soon.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Life is changing. There's parties. There's apparently, I've heard there's boys at these parties.
I'm sure boys aren't the worst things at these parties, too.
So I was thinking of you two because I know you did the younger letters to your younger self over the past few months, which were unbelievable, by the way, and got a great response.
Thank you.
And people learned a lot about you and a lot about life. And I thought maybe you could give some advice to my 16-year-old daughter, you know, what she should know at this age. Or what you wish you knew at 16.
Okay.
Am I asking too much here?
No, well, it's a little tough. But of all everything that I wrote in my letter to my 14-year-old self, I'd say the most important thing and the most important idea looking back is that she doesn't... that she trusts herself, you know, that she doesn't take anybody's advice fully. Listen to people, absolutely.
Except
be curious.
Her father, of
course. No, including her father, including you. Including
okay, turn
you.
Her mic off.
Listen, I'm saying, Jamie, listen. Listen to people, be curious, but think for yourself and trust yourself. There's no one person in your life, including your father or your mother, who has all of the right answers to everything that you'll ever go through, right? So listen, take the time to digest things, but ultimately trust yourself. She's a smart girl.
Okay, that's good. You kind of touched on mine. What I really push to ask questions and talk to people.
Yeah.
Talk to people. Just And when you are talking to people, make sure you're asking some of the questions.
Absolutely.
And that you're not doing all the talking about yourself.
100%.
Ask about them and their job and their life and their pet and their dog, because you can learn so much about people.
I agree. And when people give you advice or when people tell you something, question it. And, you know, like, use your brains. Like, think, do I believe that? Is this what I want? And then decide for yourself.
Before I get to you, Sam, this is going to sound off topic, but yesterday we had some guests here in the studio.
Yes, we did.
And they were here for about an hour and a half. Yes. And at the end, the lovely lady was leaving, and
Vanessa,
and I said, are you from Montreal? And she's like, no, I'm not from here. I grew up in Saskatchewan. I was like, I grew up in Saskatchewan. I said, what city? Saskatoon. I'm from Saskatoon. What high school? It turns out we went to the same high school.
Amazing.
Isn't that so incredible? Bizarre. And if I just wouldn't have asked that one question, like, where are you from or where did you grow up? You can learn so much about people. Sam, what's the advice for my 16-year-old?
Well, I would say hang out along the same lines. Hang out with people that know more than you and never stop learning. And the friendships that you have now, foster them, because as you get older, these friends that you have when you're 16, you know, moving forward, these are going to be people that will be with you for your life.
Not necessarily.
It becomes tougher to make new friends as you get older, I find.
Jamie, my advice is never stop making friends.
Right. Yeah, that too. That too. And never get bored with yourself. Whenever you feel like you're kind of stagnating, like, challenge yourself and pick up something, you know, pick up a new craft, a new hobby, something. Just always keep it interesting and keep, you know, never stop learning.
All right. You guys are so smart. You've covered about three of the things I was going to. There are six things they say all girls should know by the age of 16. Actually, Nikki, you covered some of them in a way. One of them is know where to draw boundaries. You want your daughter to be courteous, respectful, and kind, but there's a difference between that and being a doormat to others. Know the art of managing money. Know who and when to call for help.
Yeah.
Know how to avoid burnout. I'm going through these quickly. And also, every girl by 16 must know the ability to keep moving. Whether she's on a bike, navigating transit, or in a car, your girl should know how to get out of a fix. Help her learn how to repair her own stuff. Read a map. Change a flat tire. Stuff like that.
Okay. If your daughter figures out at 16 how to not go into a burnout, tell her to tell the rest of the world, because that's really hard.
Well, I skipped through that one pretty quick, but it says basically about not overbooking yourselves, learning to say no. Mm-hmm. Don't let your daughter become one of those who's always go, 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 and burns out due to sheer exhaustion. You look at exams and the way they study and the work and the projects they have to do.
How they do it.
It's like, my daughter works a lot on the weekends. She's doing a lot. And finally, know how to be heard. I like kind of like what you said. Ask a lot of questions, talk to people.
Yeah.
And you have great ideas. Make sure you learn how to communicate.
And listen to yourself.
Yeah. All right. So good advice. I'm going to take this all down.
How are you feeling about all this, your daughter?
You know what? She's a good girl. She's struggling in math. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't do enough around the house that she should.
Just like her old man.
That's my only two complaints. I would say typical, normal teenager.
Are you feeling emotional? She's 16 years old. You're a baby girl.
Yeah, I am. My friends all warned me about this, though. My friends who had kids before I did said, listen, at about 12 and a half, she's not going to talk to you again.
Until she's 23.
Until she's about, 20, 21.
Yeah.
So just be ready for those 10 years. And I was ready for it. And we have a great relationship, but we don't talk a lot. We do a lot of hand signals, and you're okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
You and your daughter are actually a lot alike, right?
Yes. My wife can't stand it. She hates the fact.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Vinny and Nikki in the Morning podcast. Stay tuned for more podcasts, and make sure you listen to the show weekdays from 5:30 to 8:20 only on the Beat 92.5.